This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. We're going to talk about Chinese putting spy devices in our solar panels this hour, probably with Daniel Turner about a half hour from now. Going to talk about some of this Trump stuff from today's overseas, the closing all this deal stuff. We're going to talk about communists sticking their nose in everything, all that. Emails, so much more coming up on another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. All right, let's get to the Trump stuff. So Trump has been on this huge tour across the Middle East. We've talked about it the past couple of days. What he's doing is actually quite significant, and it's significant in this way. He is very publicly letting us know too, that there are going to be changes now to America's foreign policy. That we are no longer going to get involved everywhere all the time. He said repeatedly, you handle your own affairs. And because he's Trump, he's also closing out business deals along the way. Here it was.
Who are you from?
BBC News.
I'm not disappointed. What would I be disappointed? We just took in $4 trillion, and he says, are you disappointed about a delegation? I know nothing about a delegation. I haven't even checked.
Look,
nothing's going to happen until Putin and I get together, okay? And obviously, he wasn't going to go. He was going to go, but he thought I was going to go. He wasn't going if I wasn't there. And I don't believe anything's going to happen, whether you like it or not, until he and I get together. But we're going to have to get it solved because too many people are dying.
Trump's still talking about Russia, Ukraine, brokering peace. Here he was here.
I want to thank the media. The media, I have to say, has been very fair. They've been very fair. They've been terrific, actually. I was watching some of our, normally they would not say good things, but they're having a hard time saying bad because this is a record tour. There's never been a tour that will raise, it could be a total of $3.5-4 trillion. This, just in this 4 or 5 days.
Trump signs $1.2 trillion economic deal with Qatar. Remember, a lot of these Middle Eastern countries, it can be tempting, especially if you haven't traveled much, and that's no insult if you haven't traveled much, but if all you get is movies and things like that, it can be tempting to think of Middle Eastern countries or Muslim countries as run down dumps, you know, everything is horrible and mud huts and stuff like that. Some of these countries are flush with cash. Trump went over there to strike deals, bring it in. This turns into American jobs. This turns into America's boom. It's a good thing. He was talking about Biden.
I shook more hands than any human being is capable of doing. That was a long deal, and they were big people. But they were starving for love because our country didn't give them love. They gave them a fist bump. Remember the fist bump in Saudi Arabia? He travels all the way to Saudi Arabia in that case, and he gives them a fist bump. That's not what they want. They don't want a fist bump.
I wanted to focus on that because he's talking about Joe Biden. He's making fun of Joe Biden correctly because today is a one-year anniversary. A hilarious one-year anniversary. May 15th in 2024, we were treated with this video from Joe Biden.
Donald Trump lost two debates to me in 2020. And since then, he hadn't shown up for debate. Now he's acting like he wants to debate me again. Well, make my day, pal. I'll even do it twice. So let's pick the dates, Donald. I hear you're free on Wednesdays.
He even made sure he threw in at the end of the highly edited video, he threw in a little shot at Donald Trump because his scumbag communist allies were currently prosecuting Donald Trump. Now, that is hilarious a year later because a year later, we are still finding out just how deep the cover-up went. And I'll get to the cover-up stuff in a moment, but it really did matter that our president wasn't functional. This isn't even the all praise Trump thing. This is the kind of stuff the American president has to do. As the top executive in the United States of America, there are times when you have to get on a plane, you have to schedule a gigantic multi-country tour, and you, not your staffer, not your chief of staff, not the vice president, not the secretary of state, not some other random person, you personally have to go meet with heads of state. You have to sit down with these people, sharpen your pencil, and start inking deals for the American people. And it's something that can't really be outsourced. For 4 years, we sent that poor cadaver overseas. What do you think? Just think about this moment. I thought about it when I read the article about Trump getting a $1.2 trillion deal from Qatar. What do you think they thought about us when Joe Biden got in that room? Because they had to put Joe Biden in that room. You can't hide him. You can't keep him from the room. He's got to go meet the guy. They've got to sit down. They've got to try to hammer out a deal. What do you think went through their mind? What, Chris? Chris said maybe they had him doped up. But you can't. That's not how the drugs work, you see. When you're trying to get somebody amped up for a debate, if you will. You know what? I'll use this example because this will be relatable to probably everyone. You've had a night where you didn't sleep, right? A night where you didn't sleep and you had to perform in some way the next day. In some way. Maybe it was at school. Maybe it was at work. But you had something important the next day and you didn't sleep the night before. Now, maybe the not sleeping was your fault. Maybe you went out with your buddies and it was too many beers. Maybe you just couldn't turn your brain off, too much caffeine, whatever. But you had a night where you didn't sleep. And so the next day, you had to perform. What did you do when you had to perform? You knew it. You couldn't afford to be tired. You couldn't afford to be yawning and drowsy. So what did you do? You reached for caffeine energy of some kind, didn't you? You got a 5-hour energy or a Red Bull, or maybe you're more old school and you had 19 cups of coffee. Now, let me ask you something. Did those 19 cups of coffee, did they make you feel rested? No, it's not what it does. It'll get your heart rate going, snap you awake a little bit. But you're not you all of a sudden when you go from tired to heavily caffeinated. That's not how it works at all. The same thing applies to people who are going through whatever Joe Biden has, senility, dementia, whatever he happens to have. Same thing is true of them. If you have to roll him out on a debate stage one night and you need him to rehearse some talking points you've gone over and over and over again, well, in that case, sure, get the right doctors in there, get the right cocktail in his veins, and he'll bug-eyed scream at the camera with the talking points he's memorized. But that's not what you're doing if you're sitting around the negotiating table working things out. You have to be able to think. You have to be able to counter points they're going to bring up, points that you didn't rehearse for. You have to be functional. And we, 4 years without somebody who was functional. And now we're treated to this crap. This was Jake Sullivan, former National Security Advisor.
What happened in that debate was a shock to me. I think it was a shock to everybody. And I've made that point before.
Just finally, do you think, in retrospect, given everything that's happened, everything we've talked about today, it was a mistake for President Biden to try to run again?
One of the things about being National Security Advisor is...
He wasn't shocked. He knew. Representative Ro Khanna was asked about it.
Were you telling the truth back then?
I was. I have met him a few times at public events, and he was. But of course, I didn't have the full picture. I mean, I met him maybe two times on rope lines and at public events. And I do think it's important that, given what has come out, that we take accountability. Obviously, he should not have run. We should be clear to say that. Obviously, there should have been an open primary. And I don't think that's very difficult. The Democrats should just be straight up that he should not have run, now that we know all of the...
Hey, hey, let's let bygones be bygones. I met him 2 times, and boy, he seemed super sharp when I met him. Yeah, yeah, buddy, I'm sure this guy was really knocking your socks off with his whip.
With the COVID, excuse me, with dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it was just tough to keep up with him. All right, quit. Let's do a couple emails, shall we? Next.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Do not forget, you can email your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. I think we're going to have Daniel Turner 10 minutes from now. We might have some cell phone problems with Daniel, but I think we're going to get him on to talk about the Chinese spy devices we're finding in solar panels, what's going on there, and we'll discuss more about this judge who got arrested and other things. Let's first get to some of these emails because I told you I'm going to clear some out. The subject of this one is, I feel like I'm drowning. Jesse, I have an 18-month-old son at home. He's the best thing that ever happened to me. I also work a job on commissions. I've been trying to be all in on both, but it's actually negatively affecting both. I know you worked a commission job. How did you do it where you were able to do everything you did at work, but still feel like you're not missing out on important things with your son? I know it's a passing season of life, but it's a tough one. It says his name is Chris. So this is really for everybody, men and women who are working and missing things as well. Now, I did. I very much know what this is like. When I worked construction, I was always traveling. Construction jobs, they're never in your hometown, at least not the ones we had. Rarely, I should say. Never is a strong way to put it. Rarely are they you're traveling for them. And then when I started selling RVs, it was close to my house. But when you're selling RVs, you have to work when everyone else is off and when the kids have their stuff, meaning on Saturday. Saturday's your biggest sale day by a mile. By a mile. If you were really good, you could just work Saturday and make a living. Because that's when everyone goes RV shopping, Saturday and Sunday. It's the weekend. I'm off work. I'm going to go RV shopping. Well, when do kids have their soccer games? Sorry, we're an American. When do kids have their baseball games, football games, track meets, swim meets? When is that stuff normally? Saturday. Working late. If it happened to me more times than I can count, what if the kids have something after school? What if they have one of their school band things or something like that after school and it's at 6 o'clock at night? Okay. What if I'm dealing with the buyer trying to sell them an RV or in the middle of selling them an RV? I'm trying to feed my family. I'm sorry. I can't come. I have to stay and I have to ink this deal or the mortgage doesn't get paid. And it was always... I won't say a source of stress, but it was always something that did get to you when you let it get to you. But let me ease your stress, or maybe attempt to ease your pain a little bit with this. If you feel like you're missing out on this or missing out on that, there is no such thing as being able to go all in on everything. That's not humanly possible because there's only so much time, there's only so much energy. And if you attempt to go all in on everything or all in even on one thing, you will sacrifice something else. You will. You want to be the greatest basketball player ever, like Michael Jordan? Michael Jordan had a terrible home life because all he wanted to do was practice and play basketball. So you're never home. Terrible home life. One, give yourself some grace. Two, my father was gone a lot because my father did construction too, and he was always out of town. We would go a week with him. During the week, oftentimes we would not see him. He would leave town. He'd be 3, 4, 5 hours away somewhere in Montana or Idaho or something like that on a construction project. and you just you want dad to come home so you can see your dad. Did I miss him? Yeah. Did I want him home every single night so I can talk to him? Of course. But you're also teaching your children the value of hard work and dedication, and you shouldn't discount that. Ob used to tell me that when I had to miss a T-ball game, when I had to miss some concert at school because I was selling, she would talk to the boys and let them know, dad's working for us. He's working so we can eat, so we can pay the bills. She wanted them to know. I wasn't, look, I'm not at the bar. Okay? I'm not having a good time. Dad is working so we can have a living. And there is a valuable lesson in that too. We love our kids so much that we want to be there for everything. The first step, every concert, every game. But that's not how life works. And it's never worked like that, ever. It doesn't work that way unless you're filthy rich. And then you could just sit around. Well, I mean, filthy rich and retired, I should note. Unless you're filthy rich and retired and you can just spend every waking moment with the kids, that's not how life works. Everybody makes sacrifices and everybody has always had to make sacrifices. That's how it goes. You feel like you're drowning because you're putting too much pressure on yourself. You feel like you have to be the perfect dad or the perfect mom. And my baby, I missed this and now I messed him up. I missed this. I'm never going to get that time back. That's freaking life. That's the way it goes. I mean, this job, this job, greatest job in the world. It's not even really a job. So it's certainly not a complaint, but what is it? 6 to 9 Eastern time is when the show is on. So that's 5 to 8 my time because I'm in Central time. I miss things in the evening. When those boys get home from school, I'm not there. Family dinners, most nights, I'm not there. That's the way it goes. Bills got to get paid. Give yourself some grace. Your kids will be fine. You're not running out on them. You're not a dirtball father. Get the work done. You'll be fine. All right? And remember to take your relief factor. That's also critically important. If you want to make sure you're not in too much pain to play with the kids, well, you need to start taking 100% drug-free supplement. You see, Relief Factor will remove the pain from your life. The pain that nags at you, that elbow that hurts all the time, the shoulder that hurts all the time. What don't you do now that you used to enjoy, but you don't do it because it hurts? You want that back in your life? You should get that back in your life. Relief Factor works. It was developed by doctors, but it is 100% drug-free. And the longer you take it, I should note, the better it works. Builds up in your system. Try it. Just try it. If it doesn't work in 3 weeks, don't ever order it again. 3 weeks of it is $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. Daniel Turner, maybe if he has cell service. Next. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday, reminding you that tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You need to get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So this is from Reuters. Rogue communication devices found in Chinese solar power inverters. Well, that sounds really bad. I wonder what Daniel Turner has to say about this. Joining me now, our friend, you know him well, Power the Future's own Daniel Turner. Hey, Daniel, I thought these Chi-coms were on the up and up. Are they putting spy devices in things?
No. And Jesse, that's just a weather balloon flying overhead. Don't be nervous about it. You know, it's not surprising. You know, we have given China hundreds of billions of dollars for all of the wind and solar you see, especially across the plains of Texas. They make all that crap. They make the components in that crap. Who was possibly surprised that they would use it to spy on Americans, to listen to Americans, to create a product that's known to be inferior and risk the grid? So it's not remotely surprising that they're finding Chinese doing dirty deeds, because that's what the Chinese do. You know, they're not our friend in any way. I think the president has played a very good game of diplomacy. He compliments Chairman Xi. He knows there's a dance of diplomacy and the communists like to have their egos stroked, but he's also stopped the purchase of hundreds of billions of dollars of crappy wind and solar, and the Chinese are livid, and their economy is in free fall. So we're headed in the right direction, but there's a lot of Chinese listening devices. Heck, I think I'm probably using one right now, because they are not our friend.
Daniel, I've had this question emailed into the show a bunch of times, and it's a very good question. We talk about these solar panels and wind garbage and all this stuff, and we're always buying the stuff from China. Why is it all made in China?
Most reason why is because it is very carbon intensive. I don't want to say it's dirty, because I think dirty is a bad word. But when you make solar panels, the actual, what they would call the glass, it's not glass, it's a form of crystalline quartzite. When you make that, you have to take a whole bunch of quartz and you've got to hammer it and smash it into billions of little pieces, and you've got to heat it with a tremendous amount of coal, around 2200 degrees, to get it to liquid form that you can pour it into a frame. And there's byproduct and there's smoke that comes out of the air, right? If we did that in America, the EPA would make it absolutely impossible, because they would have so many costs. They would have so many environmental regulations and health regulations. And, you know, you probably don't have enough women working on the assembly line, so you got to get fined for that. And so they make it so difficult that they just make it in China, because in China you can use 7-year-old girls and you don't have to give them safety goggles. And if you pour some crap into the groundwater, there's no EPA to fine you, right? There's no Greta Thunberg is going to protest and talk about it. So they make the things in China to bypass the very environmental regulations that they demand in America. But they call it green, right? That's the thing that pisses me off the most, Jesse. We care so much about the environment. We're not going to do this here in America. We're going to do it 10 times worse with slave labor in China, and we're going to call it green. Or, as we see in the tariffs, we're not going to make this product here. We're not going to make furniture here. We're going to use slave labor in China, where we only have to pay them $1 a day, and we're going to call that, you know, free trade. We just care about free trade. No, you don't. You want to use slave labor because you don't have to pay them. So they hide behind, whether it's environmentalism or free trade, corporatists hide behind those things to do the things that they would never get away with in America. And that's why it has to stop.
Daniel, Trump is on this Middle Eastern tour, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, all this stuff. And it leads us, as we look at all these palaces and a $1.2 trillion commitment from Qatar, is all this oil money? Are these places, are they just so oil rich they have more money and they know what to do with?
Yes. In the simplest terms, yes. And main reason why is because most of their drillers are not roughnecks like you find in Texas, who are making $250,000 and have a wife and kids and a couple of Ford F-350s, right? Most of them are Filipino or Indian day laborers that they pay pennies on the dollar, and they don't care if they chop a hand off in the process. So oil in Saudi Arabia can be profitable around $15, $10 a barrel. Oil in America is not, right? Because you've got to pay your workforce, you've got to have compliance laws, you've got to have lawyers because you're getting sued by green groups every 5 minutes. So the Qataris, the Saudis, they make money so much more quickly than we do because, again, we have a good – I don't want to get rid of our ethics rules. Don't get me wrong. I just wish we would force them to use the same ethics rules. So that's one of the main reasons why. And, you know, they also don't play a lot of the silly environmental groups games that we do. So they don't have a lot of debt. That's why they build ski resorts indoors. You know, they have indoor ski resorts in UAE. That's why they have the world's largest building. That's why they have more money that they know what to do with. So if they want to invest it back in America, I'm thrilled. I think it's my hunch, Jesse. I think a lot of this tour of investing in America is even those companies know their future is in question, right? The days of $90 on oil are not going to ever come back, God willing, under President Trump. And they need to diversify their economies, right? They need to, when you have a company, a country like UAE or the Saudis, where 90% of your GDP is from oil and gas, that's pretty risky. Texas gets a lot of oil and gas. It's not 90%. It's probably not even 30%. That's how diverse Texas's economy is. But those petro states have a really difficult future unless they diversify, and I think that's what they're trying to do.
Is oil and gas on the way? I shouldn't say on the way out because it's obviously not on the way out, but has the next thing gotten here and we just haven't embraced it yet? Or is oil and gas, I mean, it changed everything when the world started embracing that. Is the next thing here or have we not found it yet?
No, I think the next thing is just going to require, especially gas, in a different way. And the next thing is artificial intelligence. And artificial intelligence programming robots, right, to do microsurgery so that you can get grandma's cataract removed in 4.5 minutes and you don't even have to pay doctors. And it's going to be almost free because you don't have to pay a doctor $800,000 a year to be a cataract surgeon when the machine and AI can do it more efficiently, more carefully, more precisely for free. And they can do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they don't want to go to Hawaii because their wife wants a vacation, right? So that is the next thing, but that's going to require boatloads of oil and gas, especially natural gas, to power the electricity. And that's why there was so much AI investment in that Middle East tour with President Trump. They're investing in AI because they have the natural gas to power AI data centers. I don't want that to happen, though, Jesse. I don't trust those countries. I know you spent a lot of time over there. When I was at the Bush State Department, I spent a lot of time over there. I don't like those countries. I don't like their culture. I don't like their values. I don't want the Saudis. I understand the dance of diplomacy. I don't look at the Saudis or UAE as companies, countries I want to be close to. I don't want to be their enemy, but I don't want to be their friend. I understand the dance of diplomacy, but they're not my favorite countries in the world to do business with.
Yeah, I get that. Daniel, as always, my brother, thank you so much. Outstanding. Come back, join us soon. Chris, I really want to take a tour of one of those Saudi palaces. Why are you rolling your eyes? You don't want to see it? I know I want to use the scooters. We could all go. Well, maybe not you, but Corey and I can go. You probably would be best if you stayed home for religious reasons. Anyway, we'll call you on our Pure Talk phones. We'll even FaceTime you. We'll be all, hey, Chris, we're in this sweet palace eating shrimp. What are you doing back in Houston? Why are you shaking your head? And we know the calls will go through because Pure Talk's on the same 5G network as the big guys. You see, don't think when you switch to Pure Talk that you're going, of course, with a more patriotic company, but we're going to drop calls now. My service is going to suck now. No, 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 no. Your service remains. My service got better because I had T-Mobile before, and I used to not be able to make phone calls in my living room. Now, no problem. Thank you, Pure Talk. Switch. Pick up your phone. Dial #250. And say, Jesse Kelly, it's time to save money. It's time to switch cell phone service to Pure Talk. You can keep your phone, get a new phone. They make it easy. Till you switch during the break. They make it easy. Go talk to an American. #250. Say, Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. Remember, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Before I get to the emails, I do want to play this thing that Gavin Newsom said, and we'll get to your jumping out of a plane question here in a second, Chris. But Gavin Newsom, always keep this in mind. Gavin Newsom, governor of California, is running for president in 2028. All right. And Gavin Newsom, the relentless, ambitious political animal that he is, looks at every single thing through that lens. Now, maybe that seemed like an obvious point, but allow me to elaborate a little bit more. Everything is looked through that lens, meaning, let's say Gavin, how many times do you think Gavin Newsom has to speak publicly as governor of California? He's the governor of the richest, most powerful state in the country. He has to speak a lot on camera. Maybe it's an interview. Maybe it's a speech, whatever it is. Gavin Newsom sits down every single time. And you know what he thinks of? Wouldn't this be exhausting? Can I make this a campaign ad for me for 2028? Or are Republicans, if I win the primary, are Republicans going to be able to use this as an anti-Newsom campaign ad in 2028? That's how these people think. Every single thing, every moment, every speech, every photograph, it's all designed, all of it, to manipulate the public into allowing them to be the next president. He went off on some nutball rant today, and I gave you that background to give you this background. Gavin Newsom has a problem, a big problem. Now, he looks the part, speaks well, and he's going to raise gigantic quantities of money. He is going to be a formidable force in running for president. What may very well hurt him is that California is a disaster. It's a disaster in large part because of him, but you know, it's California's gone blue up all the way up and down. It's not like it's all on him, but when you have Democrats running things, things will break. Things will slowly but surely break and die. And Gavin Newsom has to do this almost, it really is an impossible juggling act in that he has to point out the failures and try to fix the failures, because you can't have the most beautiful, powerful state in the union destroyed and run on that. So he has to point at things like hate crime. Hey, we need to get this crime down. But he has to balance that with the savages who make up the Democrat Party base who want more crime. And so he ends up on bizarre rants like this.
I'm not interested. I'm just not, as a taxpayer, not just governor, I'm not interested in funding failure anymore. I'm not. I won't. Time to do your job. People are dying on their watch. Dying on their watch. How do people get reelected? Look at these encampments. They're a disgrace. They've been there years and years and years and years. I've heard that same rhetoric for years. People are dying. Kids are being born. Overdoses.
He's talking about the homeless encampments. Why give that weird little rant speech? Well, let me lay this out for you. Presidential campaigns are now billion-dollar affairs. Think how wild that is. $1 billion for what is essentially a temporary business, a temporary startup that will technically go away after you get elected. Call it a six-month business. I guess it'd be more fair to call it a year, year and a half long business. But you will raise and spend $1 billion to run for president of the United States of America. Let's hypothetically say it's the year 2026. And yep, I know that's next year. And the presidential campaigns are starting up. Let's say we end 2026 and Gavin Newsom is the Democrat nominee, and maybe J.D. Vance, who's probably the likely nominee, J.D. Vance is the Republican nominee. How many ads do you think J.D. Vance will run in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, the critical swing states? How many ads do you think J.D. Vance will run showing the insane homeless encampments in California? Have you ever seen these encampments? It's a city, essentially. It's a city of tents and drugs and crime and insanity, and they're everywhere now. Everywhere, because the scumbag commies they elect in California just allow them. In fact, they encourage them to be there. How many times do you think you're going, if you live in Pennsylvania, Michigan, or Wisconsin, how many times do you think you're going to turn on the television and see some scary commercial with the scary music? Dun, dun, dun. This is what Gavin Newsom's California looks like. Drugs everywhere. Homeless everywhere. Do you want that in your Pennsylvania town? Gavin Newsom does. Elect J.D. Vance. You know, Chris, write it down. Chris, you know what? Go ahead. We're doing that. It's the ultimate long call. I swear on my life, I'm going to be the most obnoxious person in the world when the day that ad comes out. What, Chris? What? Chris said he'll just send it to J.D. Vance's people. You know what? Good call. But you know I'm right. That's how politics works. And as weirdly diabolical as it is, before Gavin Newsom gave this speech, he had the exact same thought I just vocalized on the radio. He's driving through Cali. He's looking at all these homeless encampments, and he's not thinking about the people or the town or the crime or the kids or any of the other crap he's pretending to care about. He's looking back around at this dystopian nightmare that has become Californians' urban centers, and he's saying to himself, this is going to get me crushed in Michigan. This is going to get me crushed. So he has to start putting stuff like this on camera.
I'm not interested. I'm just not, as a taxpayer, not just governor, I'm not interested in funding failure anymore. I'm not. I won't. Time to do your job. People are dying on their watch. Dying on their watch. How do people get reelected? Look at these encampments. They're a disgrace. They've been there years and years and years and years. I've heard that same rhetoric for years. People are dying. Kids are being born. Overdoses.
This is all about running for president in 2028. All right. We're going to talk about that communist judge who helped the illegal escape, communists bringing communism everywhere, and more. Dress codes, even. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast.